Yechiel, the page that you photocopied, you want to give Michael a copy?
I just did.
Oh, you did?
So,
yes.
So Sefer.
Yeah, it's called the Chazon Yechezkel. Maybe it doesn't appear on the top. But it'll be a while till we get to that, because what we want to focus on is Reb Chaim. So let's review the basics of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim makes a distinction between Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, which is a universal principle that's identified with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. And Meleches Machshavos, which is a unique Shabbos halacha. And the distinction is as follows. Dovah Sheinu Miskaven means, does he want it or does he not want it? If he benefits from it, then the assumption is he wants it. That's called Ratzon. So, again, if I had a blackboard here, I would write the following. Dovah Sheinu Miskaven equals Ein Lo Ratzon. Dovah Miskaven means Yesh Lo Ratzon. Nichole is another way of explaining that he has a Ratzon. It's a different phraseology, different terminology, but it means the same, essentially. I'll explain as we go along. Meleches Machshavos means, does he know it's going to happen? Does he not know it's going to happen? Reb Chaim thinks he has a proof to draw that conclusion based on the sugya of Misasik. Because what's unique about Misasik and why you potter from Misasik under the law of Meleches Machshavos is the fact that you're not aware of the Malacha. If you're not aware of the Malacha, you think you're cutting up something that's already detached. So you're not aware of the fact that you're doing Ktsira because it turns out to be Tolush. That's called the chisaron, the absence of Meleches Machshavos. Because Meleches Machshavos means you know that you're doing
you do.
Malacha. And if you don't know you're doing the Malacha, that's Misasik. So it fits in very beautifully. Why does the Gemara say that Misasik is potter because of Meleches Machshavos? The answer is, because in the case of Misasik, by definition, I don't know. I don't know that I'm doing the Malacha. Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, if you accept Rav Shimon's opinion, is something else. He's adding a new condition to every Isur in the Torah, no matter what that Isur is. You only violate that Avera if you have a Ratzon to violate the Avera. Now, what happens in the case of Psik Reisha? The Gemara thinks that here, if you tell me that you don't have Ratzon, I begin to question what you're saying. You know, I begin to, so to speak, doubt the honesty of what you tell me. I mean, you know it's going to happen, and you're doing it, so how can you tell me you don't have Ratzon? But the Gemara says, nevertheless, even in the case of Psik Reisha, he still has, you know, Nehmana, so to speak. I'm just using that just to say lo nichle. I'm not interested.
But we're doing on Kol Tarkula?
Kol Tarkula.
Okay.
And including Shabbos, of course.
Okay.
Right? But not because of Meleches Machshavos, meaning when Rav Shimon adds the condition that you have to have Ratzon for any Avera in the Torah, Shabbos is included. Shabbos is not inferior to any other Avera.
Which, of course, makes me wonder how Reb Chaim can remove that criteria from Yisur Shabbos, from Chiyuv Shabbos, to the Ratzon aspect.
Well, no. Reb Chaim is saying that when the Aruch said lo michale, which we're saying is the absence of Ratzon, he meant both in Kol Tarkula and in Shabbos. So that if you're of the opinion that Dovah Sheinu Miskaven is mutter Kol Tarkula, that's Reb Shimon's opinion against Reb Yehuda, then as it applies to Kol Tarkula, it applies to Shabbos. In the case of Lo Nichale, that was the Chiddush of the Aruch, he can still claim that he's not Miskaven.
Fine. But if I don't care about Ratzon on Shabbos, then it doesn't matter whether...
No, again, I don't care about Ratzon from Shabbos from the unique perspective of Meleches Machshavos, but from the general perspective that every Avera requires Ratzon. The Aver of Shabbos, of Kol Malacha Lo Tasu, is no different than Trefus and the Easter of Ktzitzas Paheres, or the Easter of Sirus, or whatever Easter you have. In other words, the Easter of Shabbos, like any other Easter, depends upon that condition of Ratzon. The additional condition of Shabbos, which is Meleches Machshavos, that adds another condition, and that is Yedia. So whereas in Kol Tarkula, you don't need Yedia, you can be Chayv even without Yedia, but you need Ratzon.
Right.
In Shabbos, you need not only Ratzon, but you also need Yedia.
That's what Chayv?
That's
what Chayv. Both of Ratzon and
right.
But you only need Yedia.
Right. So let's take, for example, if we assume the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Shimon and Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, and Rabbi Chaim claims he has an explicit Rambam to that effect, then, in the case of Mafis Murso, which is a malach of creating a binyan on Shabbos, if it's a Dover She'edo Miskaven, he has no come on to create this Pesach, this binyan, then, even though it's a moleches masheves that you can check off because it's a psigration that he's definitely creating this binyan, this pesach. Because when he opens the wound, the boil in order to get the pus out, he creates a pesach. So that's known to begin. That's like chopping off the head of a chicken. Therefore, on a level of moleches masheves, we cannot find the p'tur. So how can the Rambam allow for matis boros on Shabbos? We have to fall back to a universal principle, namely, dovah sheni miskaveh, because the Rambam holds dovah sheni miskaveh like Rav Shimon is mutter.
Right.
So we can say now that even though he's opening up the Pesach, but he's only interested in removing the lecha, there's a psikration he's going to open up the Pesach. That psikration now opens up the window of the aruch of nichalei versus lo nichalei. If it's lo nichalei, then we go back to the chisaron ratzon of dovah sheni miskaveh, and we just completely neutralize the psikration. The psikresha is meant to create a kind of quasi-ratzon, and the Aruch says you can only make a quasi-ratzon if you get some benefit from it.
Okay.
So if it's lo nichalei, there's no ratzon, and therefore we're back to dovah sheni miskaveh. Now, we're not going to create a p'tur miyuchad. In other words, we're not going to take Shabbos out of the bag and say, well, in this case, you're potter on Shabbos because of Malachas Machshavos. That we can't do, because we have an irreversible closure on that. That's called psikresha. But what we can do is, and here the psikresha is reversible, is we can recreate a dovah sheni miskaveh. Now Shabbos is potter under the universal principle of dovah sheni miskaveh.
Is it that we have two conflicting rules here? One says that because of dovah sheni miskaveh, because it's lo nichalei, I can say that he's potter because of Rav Shimon, or Yehuda, he's potter.
Rav Shimon.
On the other hand, I still have Yediyah. And Yediyah on Shabbos, because of the unique nature of Melechus Machshavos, the unique halacha,
right, but it's,
would say he should be chayav. So now
no, but Yechiel, Melechus Machshavos doesn't mean that automatically you're chayav. I'll give you an example. Maybe I could convince you that Melechus Machshavos applies even when there's no Eidim and Hasro. I mean, I just, I'm only saying this to Saber Ta'ozen. Would you say, therefore, that if a person violates Shabbos with a Melechus Machshavos, he's chayav? No, there are other conditions that apply to every Aver. You need Eidim, you need Asra, he's got to do a Kishir, whatever different halachas that aren't generated by or subsumed under Melechus Machshavos, they encompass all the Averis in the Torah. So for example, a Katan is potter from Averis in the Torah. Maybe he's capable of a Melechus Machshavos. Let's say I can convince you that a Katan is capable of Melechus Machshavos. Does that mean a Katan is Chayav Misa for violating the Shabbos? Of course not. Because that halach that you need a gadol to be chayav, that defines what an avera is all about. A katan is not incapable of doing an avera. He's too young and immature, and therefore he's potter from all the averas, which includes Shabbos as well. Even if I would convince you it is a melechus machshavos, he's the Vilna Gaon. You know, Vilna Gaon. He's 8 years old. He could do a melechus machshavos. He'd still be potter because a katan is potter for all averas shebe Torah. Dovah sheni miskaveh is potter, according to Rav Shimon and the Rav Pasek Rav Shimon, from all averus shebe'n Torah. There's nothing to do with Melechus Machshavos. So basically, when we get to Shabbos, instead of checking off one box, we have to check off two boxes. First, we have to check off the general universal box of Dovah miskaveh and ask if he has kavana. Secondly, we have to check off another contingency, another condition, namely it's Melechus Machshavos. Here's where the Aruch fits in and says Rav Chaim, in the case of the Aruch, which of the two conditions is not fulfilled? Where am I going to put the X? Not in Melechus Machshavos, that I can't do because it's a psikresha, but I could put the X on the Dovah miskaveh. He's not miskaveh. Because what is Kavana? Kavana is Ratzon. And if it's Lo Nichalei, that means he has no Ratzon. So it's almost as if on a, you know, I don't want to call it philosophical, but my Rebbe would get me very, get very upset if I use the word philosophy in a halachashia. But philosophically, what we're saying is that when you violate God's will, no matter what aver you're talking about, God's will, it means you want to benefit from violating God's will. That indicates that you have made a choice decision. You have sort of you have weighed two things on the scale. There's God's will and your will. Your will is a ratzon with a small w. God's will is a ratzon with a big w, a capital w. The small w, the small case, has to count out to the large case. What you did is, you took your small w, your ratzon, and you put it superior above the ratzon of Hashem. That's the violation of any aver in the Torah, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Shatnez, whether it's Kelayim, any aver in the Torah, according to Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon says, when are you in violation of a Torah law? When you rebel against God by saying, my Ratzon as an individual is greater than his Ratzon. It trumps God's Ratzon. Comes along the Aruch and he says, in a Psik Reisha, again, as far as the unique Peturim of Shabbos, the additional condition that applies to Shabbos, namely the Melechus Mach Shabbos, it's already Melechus Mach Shabbos by virtue of the fact that it's a Psik Reisha. But what about the first condition, the basic condition that applies to all Averis if we accept Rav Shimon, and that is Ratzon. That means you have to put your will in. Well, you know what? If my will wasn't there, I don't get any benefit from it. I want the chilazon to keep its blood as long as it can. I don't want to take out its blood. That's called the lo nichale. And if it's lo nichale, you don't have any ratzon. You're not saying, well, my will is greater than God's will. I'm interested in the dye. I'm not interested in the blood. The blood comes out, I get no benefit from it. If I chop off the head of a chicken, then I'm saying I'm killing the chicken. But if I don't get benefit from killing the chicken, that becomes a psikreish lo nifale. That's Reb Chaim. Now let's just calculate what Reb Chaim gains, and then my goal for today is to analyze Reb Shlomo Hyman, who objects to Reb Chaim, and the Chazon Ish, who object to Reb Chaim. So this Reb Chaim did not go unnoticed in the history of literature, of halachic thinking, and it came under a lot of attacks. But that's what we want to analyze, and especially I want to analyze Rav Hyman, the Rosh Yeshiva Tor V'Das, because I think, according to everything we said, we have a great answer to his objection. First, we have to mention the sugya in Ksubis. I'm sorry, the sugya in Krisus. What happens in the sugya in Krisus? There's a case in which, through chitui, by poking around in these charcoals, he does two different things. He accomplishes, so to speak, two different goals and violates two different malachos. He is machaba es ha'elyonos umavir es ha'tachtonos. So he has both kibui and havara. And the Gemara in Krisus Daf Chof records a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok on this issue. Everybody agrees that since he's interested in Meleches Kibui vis-a-vis the Elyonos, he's Chayv one Chatos. That's undeniable. The Machlokas is, if as a result of the Kibui of the Elyonos, he was Mavir es HaTaktonos, and now he violates a second Melech, namely Avara, does that incur a second Chiyuv Chatos? Tanakhama says no, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says yes. The Gemara tries to analyze this machlokas. What are they arguing about? And Rav Ashi in the Gemara suggests that it's the old machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda regarding a davar she'eino miskavin. The Tanakhama holds like Rav Shimon, it's a davar she'eino miskavin. He had no intention of havara. And Rav Yehuda and Rav Elazar ben Tzadok holds like Rav Yehuda that davar she'eino miskavin is chav. So Tosfos gets all upset about this. I don't get it. We've established, and this appears many places in Shas, in Tosfos, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds Dover She'ena Miskavin is Asur on Shabbos. I'm sorry, is Asur. On Shabbos, he agrees that that's only Midrabbanan. But Midoraisa, he's Potter. And why? Why would Rabbi Yehuda agree to that? And the answer is because of the halacha of Shabbos. Halacha of Shabbos is very unique. So comes on Tosus and he says, wait a minute, if you're telling me that the reason why the Tanakhama drops the Chatos vis-a-vis the Elyon, the Tachtonos, namely Havar, is because it's Eino Miskamen, then how could Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok possibly maintain that you're Chayav a Chatos? That's impossible. Because even if you attribute Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that Dovah Shein HaMiskavin is Chayav in Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees that Dovah Shein HaMiskavin is Pot. Oh. And here's where Rabbi Chaim steps up to the plate. Says Rabbi Chaim, why does Rabbi Yehuda agree in Shabbos that you're Potur? The answer is because there's no Psik Reisha. Okay, and here we have to, Mamish, if we want to understand Reb Chaim, we have to take a I don't know what you call it, a press, and literally press in our brains the following analogy, the following equation. According to Reb Chaim, if there's a doubt as to whether or not this malach is going to take place, that's not Malachas Machshavos. Because Malachas Machshavos means Yediyah, and here he doesn't have a Yediyah. However, the Gemara itself increases with regard to the Tachtonos, the Havara, says that it's a Psik Resha. So at this point, you cannot apply the principle of Malachas Machshavos. And that's going to give us an answer to Tosis Kasha. Why? Because since he has an absolute Yediyah, therefore, the principle of Dovah Shenim is coming doesn't apply anymore, and certainly Malachas Machshavos is not going to apply. Meaning, if there's a psik resha, then mimanafshach, no matter how you slice the cake, you're going to be chayav. Why? If you take Malachas Machshavos as your possible candidate poter, there's no poter because he has yediyah, it's a psik resha. And if you're going to tell me Dovah Shenim is Kavein, is Moder of Shimon, Bipsik Reish, because who are you fooling? I'm just using that pedagogically. Who are you fooling and telling me you have no Ratzon? What do you mean you don't have Ratzon? You're cutting off the head of a chicken, you don't want to kill it? Obviously you want to kill it. Now you'll ask yourself, so why does the Tanna Kamma say that you're potter from Mafia? Says Reb Chaim, because of the Orach of Lo Nichole. That only works according to Reb Shimon. Why? Because what's the art's understanding of Psikresh Lo Nichole? That Lo Nichole means Ein Lo Ratzon. If Ein Lo Ratzon, you're absent the universal condition of Kali Surei Torah, then you're not setting up your will as superior to God's will. You have no will here. You're not interested in being Mavir HaTachtonos. It happens with Mela, but you have no interest, no benefit. It's like the case of the Dam Chilozel that comes out. You have no benefit from that. Therefore it becomes a Dovah Shedim Iskami. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, the Tanakam of Reb Lozer Reb Tzadok, who holds like Reb Shimon, that there's a Ptur of Dovah Shenim Iskavin, and in the case of Lo Nichole, despite the Psik Resha, it's a Dovah Shenim Iskavin, therefore you can't be Chayav from Aleches Havara, but Reb Lozer Reb Tzadok, who holds like Reb Yehuda, so what are you going to gain with the Aruch? You're going to tell me Lo Nichole. So what if it's Lo Nichole? Reb Yehuda never accepted Dovah Shenim Iskavin. Reb Yehuda never accepted this philosophical breakthrough, so to speak, of Reb Shimon, that I am in violation of the Torah law when I decide my will is greater.
Right.
Says Reb Yehuda, that's all hogwash. Throw it all into the rubbish. All that I care about is if you had an interest in this Aveira, you knew about it, you were warned about it, etc., etc., etc. I don't care, Ratzon Ahin, Ratzon Aher, Loma Shaneli. So what are you going to tell me? The Aruch? What's the Aruch going to gain for you? Psikresh Lo Nichole? So what does Lo Nichole mean? No Ratzon? From you that never required Ratzon. Therefore, insofar as Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok representing Reb Yehuda's sheet in Dovah Shenim Iskavin, he's going to be chayev a second katos for Malechas Havar. But the Tanakam of the Braisa holds like Reb Shimon, and therefore it's a Psikresh Lo Nichole, it becomes a Dovah Shenim Iskavin. That is Reb Chaim. Comes along the Rosh Hashim and Torah Vedas, and he has a cash.
Okay, so
do we have any other copies in this?
He needs a copy.
Yeah, Gedalio and
right.
Okay. Okay, there are a lot of handouts today. Now, this is the Rosh Shiva Tavdas, Rav Shlomo Hyman, and I have to tell you that anything I've ever seen from him has always been gold. I mean, it's the man has what you call an eyes in a cup. You know, his logic, is the power of his logic is almost invincible. He begins by presenting the Shitas Ha'aruch about Psikresh Lo Nichole, and he goes on to present Tosfos in Yuma, which is also Tosfos in Ksubos, to the effect that we don't understand the case of Mafis Mursa. The Gemara says that Mafis Mursa, to puncture this boil and remove the pus in a case where he's not interested in making a Pesach, the Gemara says that we're going to be matir under the law of Tsar, which is called B'makom Tsar Lo Gozru Bei Rabbanan. So Tosfos asks the following question. He raises the following objection against the Aruch. And he says, why do I need the Ptur of Tsar? Forget about Tsar over here. According to the Aruch, it's a Psik Resha. Delo Nichle, he's not interested in making the Pesach. He gets no benefit from the Pesach. And therefore becomes a Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. And a Dovah Sheinu Miskaven is Potu Mutter. Why do we need Tsar here? It's a total Iberic, how do you say in English? It's a superfluous element. It doesn't add anything. We don't need Tsar. And he says the following, that B'Shabbos, Kevin Delo Nichale, Mikri Eino Tzricha L'Gufu Potu. Tosfos' answer is that it must be that a Psik Resha, even if it's Lo Nichale, is not a special heter, as the Aruch would have it, of Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, but rather it's a unique heter in Shabbos if it's because it's a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa. What does that mean? That since he doesn't need the Pesach, then there's no Tzricha L'Gufa. The Gufa Shel Melacha is the Pesach. He doesn't need it. That's called a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa. If it's a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, that's a unique Shabbos Ptur. And whenever there's a unique Shabbos Ptur of Melechas Makshevus, we apply the principle of what? Potur Avol. Oh, sir, and now we need Tzar. So Tosfos learns that the whole Sugya Mafis Mursa is based on Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, add that to Tzar, and there you turn out a heter, and he's allowed to remove the pus.
I don't understand what you mean by he doesn't need the Pesach. He obviously must need the Pesach, because that's right. How the pus comes out. So what do you mean?
So for that, Mike, I have to add another element into the equation. If you could imagine a case where, let's say, where this is called in the Gemara's language a lul shel tardagola, meaning there's foul air inside and the air has to be let out. So you open up a window to let out the air, a very small window. So you're not chayav for that. Why? Again, this is a technicality. We'd have to learn the sugya inside. A pesach has to be lahachnis ulahotzi, like this door. You close it. And no one could come in. You open it, you can go out, and somebody could go in. That's the purpose of a Pesach. So the paradigm of Melechas Binyan is called Lahachnis Ulahotz. In the case of a Mursa, and again, you'd have to ask the dermatologist if he buys into this, the Pesach would be when he wants A, to take the Lecha out, and B, to let the air in. He's not interested in creating a Pesach. Let's say he's not a dermatologist. He doesn't know how to do it. You know, there's certain, you pay an expert for this. Again, you have to sort of accept a lot of different, details here and work with them. Otherwise, we'll never get to the conceptualization. So the Gemara says, in this case, he's interested in getting out the lecha. That's called lahotzi. But he has no interest in lahachnis, in bringing the air in. Again, the Chazon Ish is going to have a whole piece on this, and maybe we'll get to it. But be that as it may, that's the premise of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that he is making a Pesach. That we're not denying. But he has no interest in the Pesach. Ask him why he's puncturing a hole. He wants to get the Lecha out. In such a case, we have a Psik Resha that he's creating a Pesach. And therefore we have to drop the ball on Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. That's not going to help us here because we're in the Psik Resha mode. Why then, asks Tosfos, is the Gemara willing to be Matir Psik Resha? The answer is because it's a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa. Not the Aruch. This is Tosfos' cash on the Aruch. If the Aruch was right that Lo Nichle makes it into Dovah Sheinu Miskaven, the Gemara wouldn't have needed Tzar. In fact, the Gemara needs Tzar means that Lo Nichle doesn't help me here. The Psik Resha makes it into a Melacha Doraisa and it's a Dovra Miskaven. The only reason the Gemara is willing to matter it is that since he doesn't have any need for the Pesach, then it becomes a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa. And if it's a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, we apply the principle of Potter Avol Osir. That's unique Ptur and Shabbos because of Melacha Makshevet. That's what the sugya means, but b'makom tzar, lo gozer rebanan. For tzar, they allowed you to do this mafis mursa, which is a malach shen tzuchim guba. So generally speaking, malach shen tzuchim guba is asur, mirabanan, but in a case of tzar, a malach shein tzrichu guf is mutter. That's how Tosfos learns the sugya of mafis murs. So now we have a big problem. The Rambam allows you to be mafis murs, but the Rambam perek aleph milchus Shabbos paskins that malach shein tzrichu guf is chayev. If it's not a dover shein miskavim because of psik reisha, how can we justify the Rambam allowing you to be mafis mursa? You're dealing with the Doraisa here, a full-fledged malach of Pesach, and there's no possibility of applying Dovah Sheni Miskavim because it's a psik ratio. You cannot use malach Sheni Tzvikul Agufa because the Rambam holds a malach Sheni Tzvikul like Rabbi Yehuda is chayav. How then can we justify the Rambam? Oh, but this is going to be, says Rabbi Chaim, a different kind of lo nichalei, meaning not the way Tosfos understood the Aruch. Tosfos understood the Aruch in a way that it can't apply over here because once it's a psikresha, nichle or lo nichle is irrelevant. And that's why we have to shift our whole mode of thinking to malachshen tzrichel agufa. But according to Reb Chaim, that's not the correct understanding of psikresha lo nichle. Psikresha lo nichle makes it into a dovah sheni miskaveh, which allows me to apply the principle of Dovah Sheni Miskaveh. If you're assuming that once it's a psik reisha, it's irreversibly a Dovah Miskaveh, that's the way Tosfos understood it against the Aruch, then you're left with Malach Sheni Tzrichel Agufa, that's not going to help the Rambam. So how can the Rambam allow for Mafis Mursa? But if you're going to introduce the Aruch, and the Aruch is going to say that Lo Nichli has no benefit from creating this Pesach, then we're back to Dovah Sheni Miskaveh. The Rambam passes that Dovah Sheni Miskaveh like Rav Shimon is okay, and therefore we can be matir mafis mursa. So when the Rambam is mafis, now take a look at the Rambam, right?
How would he explain Tosfos's question about tzar?
That's going to be one of the Chazanish's objections to Rav Chaim. But let's just look at the Rambam and see how the Rav Chaim reads the Rambam, right? If you have Rav Chaim in front of you, we had copies. I don't know if you have one. The Rambam says the following: a mafis shkin b'shavis. If it's kedei laharchiv pi amaka, he's not just trying to get out the pus, but he broadens the whole opening. You know, he cuts out a whole opening. Kederech shaharofim osim. You know, you have to go to medical school in order to know how to do this, or I don't know, maybe you could take a special course and know how to do it. Hey, miskavni berfu laharchiv pi amaka is a reza chayav. Then he made a pesach. But in Hifisa Lahotim at Alecha Sheba Harezem Mutter. Says Rav Chaim, you know what the Rambam is talking about here? The Rambam is talking about Kavana. What was his Kavana? Did he have Kavana to broaden the Pesach and make it a real Rofim, you know, a Pesach Sherofim Osim? So no, he's just trying to get out the pus. Then the Rambam goes on to say a few halachas later, that with regard to Nechashim, you know, he's being attacked by a serpent. He says, Mutu Latsut, you're allowed to clap him over the head with a trap on top of his head. Vahu, under the five conditions, she is kavingly Natsal Minishi Chasam. That he's just trying to save himself from being bitten, attacked by the serpent. He has no interest in trapping the. So the Rambam says, if he's kofa lovis akli, in order shalo yaziku, then he's not miscounting to capture it, then he's allowed to do this again, mishum tsar.
Isn't that pikuach nefesh?
Well, if it's not pikuach nefesh, again, we're talking about shkotzim, ramosim, right? Yeah, he has a whole nachash, also nachash, but not a dangerous nachash. You know, we have all sorts of nachashim. Here in Israel, we have all sorts of nechashim. Not every nechash is. We also have akravim, the Rambam mentions. You know, there's the yellow one and the black one. Which one is dangerous? Do you remember?
The yellow one.
The yellow one. The yellow one is very dangerous. If you get bitten by a yellow scorpion, take yourself and the scorpion to the nearest hospital as soon as you can. Because from the scorpion, they make an antidote. Anyway. Oh. Comes along Rav Hyman, and he quotes three Rishonim. They're all in Perek Shmona Shrotz, which is that sugya that we mentioned before. The Rosh, the Rashba, and the Ran. And what do they discuss? They speak about a case where, l'chora, logically, we should be able to apply the Shita Sa'aruch, and they say no, we cannot apply the Shita Sa'ar. What's the case? The doctors prescribe a kos, and this serum or this medication causes ikris. It'll cause him to violate the lav of Sirus. So he won't be able to procreate. So again, it's all helpful for one element, but it's going to it has a side effect, as you'd say, a very halakhically objectionable side effect. And it doesn't matter what age you are, by the way. You know, even if you had children already, it still is a lav of Sirus. So the Rosh, Rashba, and Ran, three of the Gedolei Rishonim, asked the following question. I don't get it. He certainly has no kavana to be Masaris himself. He's only trying to, you know, get rid of his ailment, whatever it might be. And if you'll tell me it's a psik resha, but so what if it's a psik resha? It's lo nichale. And let's apply the Shitas Aruch. And they all pe'echad unanimously say the following: Lo shayach kan divrei ha'aruch. Why? Dahainu. And if you have this photocopy, we're going on to the second page. Dahainu dafko linyan shabbos. The be'inan moleches machshavos. Aval b'shar isurim lo be'inan nichale. This is exactly the opposite of Reb Chaim. Why? Because whereas Reb Chaim said that the Aruch was talking about Kol HaTorah Kulo Shari Surim Dov Shechem Iskaven, according to Reb Shem, right? And as far as Malefes Machshavos is concerned, don't even entertain the Aruch. The Aruch is irrelevant to the Ptur of Malefes Machshavos, because once it's a Psik Resha, then automatically he has a Machshav and a Yediyah. Here, three Rishonim, no less than three of the Gedolei Rishonim, say that the Aruch is only applicable to Shabbos, as far as Sirus is concerned, which is Shari Suri Torah. There the Aruch doesn't apply. Obviously, the three Rishonim are boxing the Aruch into Moleches Machshavos, whereas the Reb Chaim says that the Aruch has no application, no relevance at all to the Ptur of Moleches Machshavos. It just activates the universal Ptur of Dov Shechem Iskaven. These three Rishonim say the exact opposite, that the Ptur of the Aruch is relevant to Moleches Machshavos. It's not going to help me with Sirus, because that's Shari Suri Torah. And then he writes, Kavanosam, the Divrei Aruch B'Shabbos to Be'inon Moleches Machshavos, Abokhal Torku, the Lobi to Moleches Machshavos, is Kevin Davi Psik Reisha, Afal Gavdolo Nichole, Mikri Machavin. And therefore, it's not in the case of Koshal Ikrit, it's going to be Osir, because we're not dealing with Shabbos and Moleches Machshavos. The Aruch is inapplicable to Kol HaTorah Kulo. And based on this presentation, if you take a look on page Lamed Gimel, on the left column, I think I underlined it. I don't know if it came out in the photocopy. No? Okay. So if you count down about 12, 13 lines, you'll see, he says, "Midivrei Arosh Arashba Varan Sheivenu Liel Nira Mamish LeHepuch Misfaras Chidusha Ben Chaim Alevi Dividin Kavana Demeleches Machsheves Lo Sagi Vamesh Yodea Shamalocha Naseis Kevan Sheein Ritzonim Kavanos LeKach Lo Havi Meleches Machsheves." Meaning, the way that these three Rishonim understand it, the Ptur of the Aruch of Lo Nichale is unique to Moleches Shabbos because of Moleches Machshavos, and he has no Ratzon, he has Lo Nichale. Reb Chaim says that Moleches Machshavos has nothing to do with Nichale or Lo Nichale, has nothing to do with Ritzono or Lo Ritzono. As long as he has Yediyah, which is absolutely solidified by Psik Resha, then it's a Moleches Machshavos. The Im Ki, you know, he backtracks a little bit. Ein haramba machroy ledivrei rishonim anal. You know, Reb Chaim could always hide behind a shield, a beam, and he could say, "Well, wait a minute, don't hit me with the Rosh and the Rashba. I'm just trying to explain the Rambam Shita." He says, nevertheless, he says, "Bidvarav." In other words, to explain the Rambam, nefarshi yizbar hepech. Misvaras Rishonim Anal, you know, to say that the Rambam turns everything inside out and upside down, he's not comfortable with that. And that's an understatement. So again, if you gentlemen wouldn't mind if I treat you like children, because I'm going to treat myself like a child, forget it. I need not just the ksiva, I need a mechita.
There's one up there by the window.
Yeah. Okay, spread it. Alright, yeah, okay. That's more or less good enough for me. We have the following. We have here, I'm going to write Ratzon, and I'm going to write Yedia. Okay? Now, what Rav Hyman is pointing out is that the Rambam, and then we'll call him Shaar Rishonim, are on opposite polar ends of the spectrum. Means that the Rambam holds that Dovar She'eino Miskaven is here, right? And Meleches Machsheves is here. And all the other Rishonim say that Shabbos or Meleches Machsheves is here and Dovar She'eino Miskaven is here. Do you see that? And that just doesn't sit well with him. Okay. Now, let's go over some of the basics that we discussed in earlier shiur. And my goal is to defend Reb Chaim against Reb Shloimeh. Let's start from the beginning. I call it Reb Shimon Shkop, if you recall. Reb Shimon says that what's the issue regarding Dovar She'eino Miskaven? What's the Yesod HaPlugta between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda? And he says the following. That I can separate Greira and Asiyas Charitzim as two different Maisim. Comes along Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says that what's going to determine which of those two Maisim are mine? In Hebrew we would say, Eze Maaseh Bet Yacheselai. And the answer is Kavanah. Therefore, if he has Kavanah for Greira, he doesn't have kavanah for Asiyas Charitzim, then which of these two Maisim relate to him?
Greira.
HaGreira Nikreis Al Shmo. V'ein HaCharitzim Nikrim Al Shmo. That's the Yesod HaYesod description. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, no. You have no right to introduce kavanah into the equation. If the man is aware of what he's doing, he's conscious, he's deliberate, he knows that there's no fooling, there's no game playing over here. Forget about Kavana. He's the Bala Maisa both as far as the Greira and as far as Asiyas Charitzim. Comes along Psik Resha and says the following. That when do we allow you to introduce, when do we allow Reb Shimon to introduce the variable of Kavana and decide this Maisa relates to you because you had a Kavanah, this Maisa lomit yachesei lecha because you didn't have Kavanah. That's only when you have the right to separate Greira and Asiyas Charitzim into two different Maisa. But if it's a Psik Resha, then we collapse them and it's one Maisa. You cut off the head of a chicken, you're killing the chicken. Don't tell me you're taking the bottom of the chicken and leaving out the top of the chicken and you're not killing the chicken. Killing the chicken was a different Maisa that happened. No. When does Reb Shimon allow you to introduce Kavana into the equation and the Kavana now will determine which Maisa relates to you? That's only if there's no psikration. That allows me to separate the two Maisa. But once the psikration, I collapse those two into one Maisa, then even Reb Shimon agrees that he had Kavana for that one Maisa, which includes Asiyas Charitzim. So if the ground is very soft and the chair is very hard and very heavy, he is cutting off the head of the chicken. He is making Charitzim.
That was the difference
between Safsan and Dolim and Ktanim. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Now we have the Orach. And the Orach says, well, it's lo nichle. So Reb Chaim had a problem because Reb Chaim asked himself the following question. Wait a minute. If Psik Resha collapses these two Maisim into one Maisa, then where does lo nichalei fit in? The whole vart, the whole yisodi yisodis of Shimon of Einam is kavin is because you have two maisa. Here you have one maisa. So when you tell me lo nichalei, so what is lo nichalei, and how does it help you? Lo nichalei can't help. Are you with me? I just want to show you where Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon Shkrop both are coming from. What bothers them? What eats them up alive over here? The Aruch in Lo Nichalei seems to undermine everything that we've been saying. The premise of Eidem Eskavin is that you have two Maisen, but once there's a Psikration, there's one Maisa. Moder Reb Shimon B'Psikration, that's all of the Shas. What good is it to introduce the Aruch's Lo Nichalei and call it Kavod? But Lo Nichalei, call it Lo Miskavenly. What do you mean Lo Miskavenly? It's one Maisa. The whole head there, so to speak, the green light to apply Eidem Eskavin is two Maisa, but you're left with one Maisa. So far, so good. Again, this is all hopefully coming back to you as a chazor of what we said. So the answer is the following. All this is correct if we define Maisa in the following way. Maisa means that what happened, happened as a result of what I did. Okay, I don't know if that made any sense to anybody. That was very abstract.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Another way of
putting it. Okay. There are two ways of defining a maisa. One way of defining a maisa, I'm hoping that even though the distinction is very subtle, you'll hear the distinction. One way of defining a maisa is to say, look what happened. Well, something happened. Did it fly out from Shemayim? Did the tree fall because of a hurricane? What happened? The answer is you did something. And whatever you did was responsible for creating this result. What I look at, Bashetach, as we say, that was related to you. That's one way of calling the shots here. And that is what I call a shame maisa. Okay, I'm going to use that term. In other words, the halachic definition of the maisa vis-a-vis the bala maisa, in terms of that relationship, that siruf, that kesher, is the how did this happen? Why did it happen? And the answer is, you're the one. Remember, they used to have this is before your time, you feel. Nixon's the one. You know, that's before your time, right? Yeah, when you were born, Nixon was probably vice president.
I was born when Kennedy was president.
Oh, wow, okay. So you look much younger than that. Anyway, Nixon's the one. You're the one, right? You're the one. Then there's another way of defining a maisa. It's not enough to say that, look what happened, and aren't you responsible for, you know, kavyochel, setting up a chain reaction, and this is because of you. It's not enough to say the shame maisa relates to you, and you're the bala maisa. We have to go a step further. We have to say that you did a maisa which created that result. There's something in your maisa that inherently created that result. I'll give you an example of what I have in mind. The Gemara says in Pesachim Chafei that you're walking down a street to try to get from place A to place B, and there's a smell of the incense of Avodah Zorah, and you're going to pass by the Avodah Zorah, you know, this temple, and you're going to enjoy the smell of this Avodah Zorah. Right? I had it every Shabbos for 2 years of my life in Queens, New York, because I used to pass by on my way to shul McDonald's, and I would smell basar b'cholov, right? And you're not allowed to benefit from basar b'cholov. So ultimately, I had to cross the street because the smell was overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? So the Gemara says that even if it's a psik resha, you're still not chayav. Why? Tell him, well, I wasn't miscavenging to enjoy this benefit, but it's a psik resha. You know, you're going through the airspace, you know, the vapor space of Avodah Zarah. The answer is, because when it comes to Isra HaNoah, and then we want to apply this in other Yisurim, it's not enough to say, well, the final result relates to me. Miuchas Elai. All of the gracious in the world could only create a shame maisa. That's not enough in Yisuri HaNoh. In Yisuri HaNoh, we need Lekichas HaNoh. We need that you did a maisa of taking that HaNoh and enjoying it. I pick up the, you know, the besamim, and I shmek it, you know. So let's say in Abdullah, I don't know, is it enough if you hold the besamim where it's on the table and I smell it? Maybe smelling itself is a lekicha. But if I'm totally passive, maybe that's not enough. I need to take it, you know, to take the smell, to take the hanah. In Melecha Shabbos, there are indications this way and that way. To both, you know, you could write a whole treatise and defend both positions. For example, Rashi says in Seder that if I capture an animal and I'm not interested in capturing the animal and it was a psik resha, it would still be a darish and a miskaf. Why? Because it's not enough to say that the Seder was because of me. I closed the door. I have to close the door. I have to actively do the Seder. I have to dominate and incarcerate the animal. That's how Rashi learns to say. No, what I mean is Masa Bekuvah say, not the Totsa'ah Kefishi Mityacheset Lamaisa, but not in the direction of going backwards. In other words, I don't start with the Totsa'ah and then go back to the Maisa and ask myself, well, where did this happen from? Did the wind come from Shemayim? But rather, you initiate an action, and that action creates a result. So I don't start with the result going backwards. I start with the action going forwards. Again, hopefully, you know, if I'm not being clear, it'll get clearer as we go along. The Ramban, when he wants to describe that, how should I say, that mavar, how would you say, you know, from the lower echelon to the higher echelon, and when the Ramban wants to say that it's not enough that the Maisa relates to you, but that you have to actively seek out the result, the Ramban uses the phrase Moleches Machsheves. He does not mean Moleches Machsheves the way you and I understand Moleches Machsheves. In fact, the Ramban is trying to explain why it is that you're allowed to cut off the Baharis Bemila. That's not Shabbos. These are Ketzitzas Baharis, has nothing to do with Shabbos. And the Ramban says it's not a Moleches Machsheves. What does Ramban mean? He means that the Torah doesn't allow you to circumvent the process of Tahara and circumvent the Kohen and so forth and so on and cut off the Baharis with a surgical operation. Right, but the Gemara wants to know, is there any way of avoiding Esei Docha Lotas? As the Gemara talks about whether the father should do the Mila, someone else should do the Mila. That's the Sugya Daf Kuflam and Gil. So if you get a chance, you'll go over the Sugya again. But the bottom line is, when the Gemara wants to find a way of an alternate way of being Matir, instead of Esei Docha Lotas, the Gemara wants to suggest that this could be mutter because he doesn't have kavana for ketzitzas baharis. So the Ramban asks, what do you mean he doesn't have kavana for ketzitzas baharis? He's cutting off the baharis. It's like cutting off the head of a chicken. It's a segregation. So the Ramban says, well, it's not moleches machsheves. What is Ramban talking about? Remember, I photocopied the Ramban for you. Maybe I have it in your archives. So Ramban and Kuf Yudal. And the answer is that the Ramban is using the term Moleches Machsheves in a whole different context. And he's telling you that just like in Shabbos, the Torah prohibits you because you, not Shem Maisa, because you take the Molecha and you create the Molecha, you actively are responsible for the Totsa'ah, not just that the Totsa'ah happened because of you, if you follow me. Says the Ramban, that principle of Moleches Machsheves, that definition, applies to other Yisurim as well. And now with the Ramban and the Rashba, if you remember, we tried to be Yashem Esnir in the Rashba, what they're giving us is a challenge, and they're saying, go out there and analyze all these Surei Torah and classify them. How do you classify them? And every Isser has to come under the microscope for its own investigation. You can't be makish ain't pohekish me Isser l'Isser. Every Isser has to be judged on its own merits. Is it a shame maisa, or is it a lekichas maisa, or an active asiya? Isuri Anoa require an active asiya. The Totsah is not enough. Shame Isa is not enough.
How come there's the Shekinah in there as an Isa? There's no Lekichas Maisa when the Gemara uses the term Shekinah and therefore he's Chayav.
Oh, okay. So you're right about Misasik. How does it work in Misasik? I don't know if I can, you know, if I can handle everything at once, but I just want to say the following. That in Isuri Anoa, what we're asking is if you actively took the hanah for yourself. I call it lekichas hanah. If you can think of a better word to help me express this, I'll be very thankful. I call it lekichas hanah. Bekuvase, there's an active element here. And every Easter is different. When the Rosh and the Ran and the Rashba tell you that the Shitas Ha'aruch does not apply to the case of Sirus, of a Koshel Ikrin, what they're telling you is that the Avera of Sirus is not a Meleches Machshavos. What does that mean? That the Iser is not in the Maisa, but in the Totsas HaMaisa. Are you with me? What we're saying is that we're looking at the Sirus, it's a reality, it's a Mitzirus, and we're asking, who's responsible? What's responsible for this Sirus? All you need for that is a Shem Maisa. And for that Shem Maisa, all you need is a psikration. The Aruch is talking about Meleches Machshavos, not the Meleches Machshavos of Shabbos. The Meleches Machshavos that is personified or typified by Shabbos, but can apply to Shari Suri Torah as well. Namely, that the Iser is not in the shame maisa, but in the lekicha. And if it's in the lekicha, says the Aruch, lo nichale. If it's lo nichale, he gets no benefit out of it. You can't tell me that he actively took it. So again, let's go back to our original question. How could the Aruch apply to creation lo nichale? It makes no sense, because it's already one maisa, and if it's one maisa, then you've removed the entire base for the foundation for Dov Hashem Miskavin. You can't apply Dov Hashem Miskavin if it's one maisa. So Psikresha collapses it into one maisa. What good is Lo Nichle? The answer is that the Aruch will apply Lo Nichle for any Isa that fits the following categorical distinction. Namely, the Isa is not in the Totsah, but in the maisa that brought about the Totsah. And if that Isur applies, like Rashi in the case of Tzedah, or the Isuri Anor that we discussed before, where the Isur is in the active Maisa, then we can apply Lo Nichale. And Lo Nichale says to me the following. Yeah, for sure there's a Torah's Maisa here. And if you ask me, does the Maisa relate to him? For sure it did. I mean, he did the Maisa, he cut off the head of a chicken. But the answer is, if the Torah says about this Isur, it's not just in the pudding, and the proof is in the pudding, meaning in the final result, but the Isur is in the Maisa, thus licked in the Maisa, it's inherent in the active participation of the person to create that Totsah. If that's your definition of the Avera, that's called Meleches Machshavos. Meleches Machshavos requires that you were actively seeking out this result. So Memela Rabosai, there's no stira between Reb Chaim and his understanding of the Rambam and the Rosh, Rashba, and Ran. The Rosh, Rashba, and Ran are talking about the case of Sirus. In the lav of Sirus, the Aver is in the Totsah, is in the final result. The Sirus itself is the Isur. And if the Sirus is the Isur, well, who's responsible for the Sirus? Well, you took the Koshel Ikrim. If you took the Koshel Ikrim, then moving backwards, I can definitely attribute the Sirus to your action. And therefore, you're the Bala Maisa. You tell me Lo Nichale, Ahin and Aher, it's not going to make any dent. When does the Aruch of Lo Nichale apply? It applies when there's a Dover Sheni Miskavim. A Dover Sheni Miskavim meaning even though he knows it's going to happen and there's one Maisa, and therefore it's definitely his Maisa, but he's not interested in it. And if the definition of that Avera is his seeking out the Avera, his interest in the Avera, then Psik Reisha doesn't apply. He's still Mutter. Comes along Reb Chaim, and he says the following, in Mafis Mursa, according to the Rambam, since we're dealing with Issa Shabbos, he has to actively create the Pesach. If he's not interested in the Pesach, if it doesn't help him, then even though it's a Psik Reisha, that's not considered a Meleches Binyan. Or for example, we'll take the case of Potzeach Ilozon. He's not actively taking out the Dam. I can prove to you that he's not actively. He is taking out the dam. It's a Psik Reisha. No doubt about it. He's taking out the dam. Right? The pipe that removes the dye is also drawing what in it? In blood. It's got different colors there. It's got blue and red. You know, it's really colorful, right? So he's definitely pulling out the dam. Does he have any interest in pulling out the dam? That's not. That's a different concept. That's not Meleches Machsheves of Shabbos, you know, which might have repercussions in terms of Makalkil and Asasik and all the other dinim. That's the Meleches Machsheves of Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever Kavanah itself means that you are actively seeking out the Avera and there's a Lekicha, and if that's the nature of the Avera, that's when you're Chayav. Does everybody see now that there's no stira between that whole group of Rishonim who would apply this new concept of Meleches Machsheves to Shabbos and not to the case of Koshel Ikrim, but they could definitely apply to other Isurim? For example, let's take the case of Ktsitzas Baharis. If Ktsitzas Baharis means that the Torah prohibits you from actively circumventing the process of Tara by surgically cutting out the Tzaras, then the Aruch is going to apply. It's a Psik Reish Lo Nichale. If it's Lo Nichale, and he has no interest whatsoever in avoiding the Kohen, then he hasn't violated the Issa, because the Issa requires an active, like the Rashi by Tzeda that I keep quoting, right? That you actively dominated the animal and incarcerated the animal. Okay, that's as far as Rav Shlomo Hyman is concerned. Now, as far as the Chazon Ish is concerned, the Chazon Ish's first Ha'or, he has three Ha'oros against Reb Chaim. In the first Ha'or, he says the following. He says, Eino Muvan, I don't understand Reb Chaim. When he opens up this Mursa, Harei Kishakotech HaBosa Me'ala Mugla, Mugla is, I guess, a more modern, contemporary word for Mursa, Mugle, right? That's even in modern Hebrew. He says, Be'emes Kavanoso Lasos Pesach. He has a full intention of creating a Pesach. Sheteitze Alecha Derech HaPesach Hazeh. I think pretty much that we already answered this question, right? You know, the Chazon Ish is claiming that he actively wants to create the Pesach. Why? Because that's the only way he gets the Lecha out.
I mean, it's a consequence. The Lecha coming out is like a secondary thing.
Yeah, he's assuming, the Chazon Ish, that he wants to take out the Lecha. And in order to get out the Lecha, he needs the Pesach. I don't know. I'm not sure that that's what's going on over here. I mean,
that is what's going on.
I don't know, because if a Pesach means Lahotzi Ulahachnis, meaning he wants to get the air going in, for that maybe he needs a Rofe, you know, to create a professional Pesach. He right now finds that the pus is building up inside of him, and he needs a let up on that pressure, and therefore he creates a Pesach. But does he have any kavanah to create? You know, again, you could call it a Psik Reisha if you like, but does he have Kavanah to create a Pesach?
Yes, he does.
That's what the Chazon Ish says, but I don't know if that's so. Again, you know, we're trying to understand how the Rambam was matir Mafis Mursa, after the Rambam holds that Moshe Nitzvah can move his chayim, right? So we're trying to approach it from the perspective of Einu Miskavim.
Maybe it's different because if he's actually actively making the petach, taking a knife or something else and cutting the skin, he's making a petach in order that at a secondary stage the pus would come out. But whereas if he was actually like putting pressure on the pus, and he said, "I don't care how it goes out. I just want it to go out." Then it's not.
I'm just suggesting that if the only way of getting out the pus is through creating a Pesach, but this is not a Pesach in the classical sense. He doesn't need, and he doesn't have any interest in something going in through this Pesach. You know what I mean? He's not trying to get the air into the Pesach. Then he's not miscounting to a Pesach.
It's not a Pesach ratio.
Again, it might be a Pesach ratio, but you know, here we're going to apply the principle of Dover Shengen miscounting, even though it is a Pesach ratio, right? Because he has no benefits whatsoever, and there's no ruts on him, right? That's Rakhine's definition.
He doesn't have a benefit.
But again, is he interested in getting the air inside? Is that his ruts on him?
No.
That's really the critical question. I think the Chazanish somehow is postulating that his rotzon is to get the air in, which defines it as a Pesach. Reb Chaim, I think, is assuming that he has no interest in getting the air in. If he wants to get the air in, maybe he should see his local dermatologist or his surgeon to do it professionally. You know, Rambam says kederach harofim. You remember the Rambam's language, right? Amafis shchin b'shabes kedei laharchiv pia maka. He's marchiv the pia maka. The Rambam goes out of his way to point out that under normal conditions you'd go to a professional to be marchiv pia maka. Now, he may be doing that, but he hit the jackpot. You know, maybe he should apply to medical school, and he's apparently very good at what he does, but that's not what he's interested in doing. The Rambam says, im hifisa lahotzi mimena lecha harezeh muta. And the question that begs itself is why is this mutter? The Rambam holds Moshe Nitzvah Leguf is Kaya. So that's what Reb Chaim says, that he has no kavanah to make the Pesach. He says no. He's interested in making the Pesach. I don't know. I think the Rambam's language is that, you know, a Pesach is harchovas pi amaka. The Rambam says he fisa lo tzia mimena lecha. So I don't.
So the Rambam is saying that is always interesting.
I think. And that's where Chaim claims that the Aruch here is going to kick in, and it's a Pesach Reish Lo Nichle, which again brings us back to Dover Shem Miskavim. The Rambam holds Dover Shem Miskavim is Mutter. Well, again, the way the Chazanish understands it, because he's on the side of Tosis, is that it's not a Melechus Machshevus because it's a Melechus Shem Yitzricha Legufa. The Chazanish knows very well that that's not going to help the Rambam Shita. But the Chazanish is looking at the Metzius and he's saying, Tosis is right. The only rule or principle that could apply here is Malach HaShem Yitzricha Legufa. You can't apply the principle of Eina Miskavim. Again, I'm going to quote the three key words in the Chazanish. He says, Kavanoso Lasos Pesach. I don't know. Reb Chaim disagreed. It's not Kavanoso Lasos Pesach, because Pesach means Harchovas Piyamaka. And he has no kavon in Harchovas Piyamak. He may have done so, but it was below Miskavim. No, but you'll tell me, even if it's below Miskavim, it's a Pesach ratio. So the answer is the Aruch of Lo Nichale, which allows you to go back to Dover Shenim Miskavim of Kol HaTorah Kul. So you may have the idea, and it may be Melechus Machsheves, therefore, but he doesn't have that Ratzon. Again, it's that Ratzon that we discussed before that applies to all 39 malachs, the way Rashi applies to Tzedah, a Ratzon, which means now you can hold me not only as the Bala Maisa, but as the Lekichas HaMaisa. You know, I actively am creating a Pesach. If it's Lo Nichle, I'm not actively creating a Pesach. Again, I definitely created a Pesach, and you know, the scientists will tell you, if we had a video camera, that the way you're cutting it, buddy, you are going to make a Pesach, it's a Pesach ratio. So if we had a Shem Maisa of Kol HaTorah Kul, like in the case of Sirus, when he took the kosher ikrim, then certainly this would be chayev. But since Reb Shimon has a Dover Shein Miskavim, even with a Pesach ratio of Michale, when the halacha requires, the avera requires that you actively seek it out, then it's lo nichale, I didn't actively seek this out. If I'm not interested in creating the Pesach, lahachnis avir, then I didn't actively seek it out. Okay, Rav said, look, I would like to learn with you now a piece from Issa Zalman Meltzer, and for the time being, to be Mevarech ala Mugmar as far as Rav Chaim is concerned. In other words, I think we spent a lot of time in this Rav Chaim. Maybe we'll come back to it again and again. There are two other points here in the Chazon Ish. But since our time is limited, I would like to study with you Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer. So I have a photocopy. Again, what I could get out of the out of the computer here, because I didn't know, Yechiel, whether you're going to show up today. So I went ahead, and this has a watermark on it. But we'll do better with Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky, that has no watermark on it. But I think we could read it even despite the watermark. Okay? So the Rambam opens up Hilchos Shabbos by telling us that whenever I say potur, it means potur midoraisa, and therefore you're not chayav skila, you're not chayav karbon. Avol also lasos dover zev yisur midivrei sofrim, for who are chaka min hamalacha. So it's an isur midivrei sofrim. Now, what Rav Issa Zalman wants to know is, with regard to malacha, every single malacha on the list, we have what's called a shir, a minimum shir that you have to do. So for example, in Otsah, the shir is kigor geres. And what would be the deal if he carries a chatzi gogeres from Rishus Hayoch to Rishus Harav? So again, you would say potur. Why? Because he didn't do the shir. And the Rambam is telling you that whenever I say potur, it means potur, avol osu mid rabbanim. And this bothers Rav Issa Zalman tremendously, because the Gemara tells us at the end of Masechta Yoma, and this is very relevant to Yom Kippur Bo Aleinu Lutova, that Chatzi Shir is Osur min HaTorah. And the Gemara gives two explanations to Rav Yochanan. We accept the Shita of Rav Yochanan that Chatzi Shir Osur min HaTorah. One is because of Kol Chelev, the extra word Kol. And the other is because of chazin l'tzarufe. If you start with a chatzi shir, you'll end up with a full shir. Heaven forbid. He says, yesh l'ayin b'chatzi shir d'isuro min haTorah. How does that fit into what the Rambam just established, that anytime I say potur, it means potur min haTorah, avol osu midivrei sofrim. But we have a principle of chatzi shir osu min haTorah. So how could it be that in chatzi shir, the Rambam is going to say potur? So how do we interpret those words? When the Gemara asks the question, a rhetorical question, meaning how can you allow baking less than a full grogeris or kosevis or kezais, whatever the shir is. So Rashi says, the chatzi shir asa min haTorah. What the Gemara meant to say was that of course you're not allowed to bake half of a shir because of the principle of chatzi shir osur min haTorah. That doesn't seem to fit with the Rambam, because the Rambam says the chatzi shir is potur, and the Rambam tells us that whenever he says potur, means potur osur min divrei sofrim. So what happened to chatzi shir? Rashi Lechor is right. So Gedalia already has the answer, but I like the way he formulates. He says, we still are trying to figure out if Rabbi Mital was married to Rabbi Solomon's granddaughter. Okay. We'll work that out. I'm pretty sure she was a granddaughter of the Evan Oslo, but we'll see. She's still alive.
Yeah,
she's still alive. Anyway, so he says, Ayin Barambam Perik Alf Milchus Chomet Zumatz Aloch Azayim. Interesting. We're discussing Chatzi Shir Shabbos, and the Evan Oslo invokes a Rambam and Milchus Chomet. The Rambam writes, "Ha'ochel min haChometz atzmo bePesach kol shehu hareza osur min haTorah." So he eats a small parcel of chometz on Pesach, and he violates an isur Torah. She nemar lo yeochel. So the case of Mishnah right away jumps on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam have to quote she nemar lo yeochel? We have a principle of chatzi shir osur min haTorah. Says Rabbi Zalman Muchach, we have to prove from the Rambam and the Kasha of the Kesef of Mishra, we have to derive a conclusion that Kol Masha Eino Domel LeIsur Chelev, right? The Torah says Kol Chelev. Kol Chelev means anything similar to Chelev, like a half a Zayis of Chelev or any other Isur that's similar to Chelev. Chametz is not, as we'll soon see. Is therefore it's awesome in our Torah. What's the difference between Cholov and Chametz? They both start with a Ches and have three letters in them. Right? But what's the difference? Chelev is also the whole year round, right? Forever and ever. And Chametz is only also for 7 days. So we couldn't derive from Chelev an Isur Chatzis Shir with regard to Chametz. For that, the Rambam needs a special Yalfus, a special Pasuk. Now, Rabbi Zalman wants to apply that logic to the case of Moleches Shabbos. He says, "In Cain, Isur Shabbos. Now, how long is Isur Shabbos?
Once a week,
right? One day of the week is Lo Yalfina Dosa B'nai Torah. It's not similar to Chelev. I mean, in Reb Chaim's terminology, I think he would say it's not an Isur Chefta. You know, it's an Isur Maisa Gavra, the Maisa Molocha. Masha Ein Cain Chelev is an Isur Chefta." So if the Torah asked that a chatzis zayis of chelev under the law of kol chelev, so we can derive from that that a chatzis zayis of nevela would be also, because that's a chefta disura, but it has no application to Moleches Shabbos. Val kein, or val karchach, kavonas ha-gemara shom, mirabonon, when the Gemara asked him, v'chimut alefos pokus mikashir, the Gemara had in mind Eid Rabbanon. He says, "Mevur mizeh the inyan isuri Shabbos." As far as Shabbos is concerned, bein lamash alam de biyuma daf aydal midin kol chelev, and we have no right to equate Shabbos. Shabbos is not analogous to chelev. Bein mitam chazin it's tarufe. Now this is a little bit more complicated. The Rosh Yeshiva here does not explain why Chazin Sarufe, which is the other explanation of Chatzis Shabbos in the Torah, does not apply to Moleches Shabbos. Maybe he means that if he carries a half a grogeris, then he goes back and he carries another half a grogeris, there's no tziruf between the two. In Achila, you have Halach of Tokadei Achila's Pras, so he ate half his eyes, now he ate the other. But in Moleches Shabbos, you can't. I don't know. He doesn't go into detail.
There's some effect to every achila. There is some effect. There is. Essentially, he's saying there is no such. It's not malacha. It's nothing when you do a chatzis shir on Shabbos, and therefore there's nothing.
But why isn't it? Why is it not quote unquote chazin tzarufi? Why can't I take out a half a grogeres? Why can't I take out a half a grogeres? And then go back and take out another half of it.
Again, one is a separate action.
Maisa, it's a separate maisa. Right. So maybe that's what he means here. That in the case of achila, it's complicated because even in achila,
you did eat a half of a zayat or whatever it was.
Why can't you carry a half a zayat and then carry another half? Why is it different than achila? I'm sorry, I'm being so argumentative.
There's no relationship between one and the other. In achila, it's in my body. I have it. I had a half.
And here it's in the Rishus HaYochid.
That was something else.
So is that true in Halacha? I never saw that in Halacha. You have to carry it all the Vasachas?
They're not Mitzarif in the Chotzer, are they? They're not Mitzarif. They're all Mitzarif in your...
Well, let's say, for example, you're in a Rishus HaYochid, and I have to give you a grogeris of pas, right? So I bring it out to you piecemeal, and you're holding on to it, and now you have a full grogeris.
It doesn't say you're holding on to it, it just says he takes it out, and then he takes out the half out.
I don't know. He doesn't spell it out.
If you say that it's a problem with Moleches
Machshavas, I thought he would. Oh, that's going to be the second answer, right?
Okay.
So you have it in front of you. Yes, I'm not. I don't want you to think I'm making up something. He says we all admire it. Now he wants to say a whole different lamdas here. You know, until now he wanted to show you that the two logical principles that underlie Rabbi Yochanan's Chatzis Shabbos in the Torah don't apply to Moleches Machshavas, and therefore Potter. In the case of Chatzis Shir and Shabbos means potavol also midirei sofrim, and the principle of Chatzis Shosim and the Torah doesn't apply to Lecha Shabbos.
How did it's the root? Where is that learned from?
That's a svar. The Gemara says, Ibai say makra, Ibai say masvar. Ibai say makra, kol chelet. Ibai say masvar, achazi it's tarufi. I think it's on Daf Ayin Dal. I don't usually know Dafin, but that's a very famous piece of Gemara. Chatzi shir asim in Torah. So the two explanations that apply to Chatzi shir, according to Mrs. Zalman, none of them, neither of them apply to Melech Shabbos. I understand very well why it's not similar to chelet, just like we saw the Rambam by Chometz, it's not similar to Chelev. You could say the same logic to Melech HaShavos. I wasn't sure why the logic of Chazin Sarufi can't apply to Melech HaShavos. Again, probably he means because it's a mice, it's a pe'ula. You know, it's not in the Hefta, but even in Chelev, it's really the pe'ula. So you're pointing out that there's a pe'ula, but there's also a Hefta. So somehow the Hefta gets together into, you know, you can have two pe'ulos on one kezayis. Each pe'ula is about feel on a half a size, but somehow we can integrate that into one.
Is there a time limit on the chazid instead
of fake? Yeah, well, in the case of machos, as soon as it's delkedachilus props, you know, would there be some sort of parallel in Hilchos Shabbos? I don't know.
Then that would define.
You know, that's something that we have the balance of the year to figure out.
So that defines the chepza. That essentially says that a delkedachilus props, each one is a chepza that can be combined to one another. But if you do,
well, I don't know if
a mice, then there's no inyan of it.
I wouldn't agree with you that. I would say that delkedachilus props is not combining the chepza. It's combining the Maisa. It's making it to one Maisa Achila. Well, let's just see the Viod for a second, because I do want to get to Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky. He says, Viod nire, de le'inyin melech ha-shabbos lo shayach isur min ha-Torah. There's no way of generating an isur min ha-Torah l'chatzi shir melech ha-shabbos. Af! Even if I grant you mishum dechazi l'tzitarufa, even if maybe you could find the situation in melech ha-shabbos where Chatzi shir, another chatzi shir of mitztarev. And look at this language here. And again, he's dropping a bomb here. I thought from the next five words he would have written a whole treatise, but he doesn't. The repachos mikashir ain chashivis malacha klal. This reminds me of from Menachem Zemba. Who remembers how much time we spent on Menachem Zemba? Wasn't here? I thought it was here. Anyway, the Tzitzis Chaim has a whole discussion in which he claims that Chatzi Shir is not considered a Malach at all. Which reminds me of Rabbi Kiveger. That we definitely did together. Rabbi Kiveger wanted to say that Mis'asek in Shabbos is not considered a Maisa Malach. Meaning that there are certain conditions that set up a Chashivus to a Malach, both from the perspective of the Malacha per se and the perspective of the Osa Malacha, right, the Machshava of the Osa Malacha. And if those conditions are lacking, it's not a Malacha at all. And that's only in Shabbos. So for example, Mekalkel doesn't have the Chashivus of a Malacha. And it's not a Malacha at all. Miss Asik, I didn't put that Machshava into it. You know, I thought I was cutting up Tolush. That's not a Malacha at all. So the sefer here called Orchas Shabbos, I thought we learned it together once. So he talks that, do I have to separate you, if I know you're about to do a malacha b'misaseh, do I have to notify you, right? So you go with Rabbi Kiveger, Rabbi Kiveger says, well, it's not a malacha at all, so I don't have to notify you. I have to separate you from a ma'isa avera, but that's not a malacha. And here also, according to Mrs. Zalman, Chatzi Shir is not a malacha at all. Ein chashivus malacha klam. Yeah, I would have written at least a book on this. You know, two books on this. He says it's like so kalakar. Yeah, but I wanted to show you a chiddush here of Mrs. Zalman. Again, depending on if you can stay or not. You know, minchas in 10 minutes.
Just one very small comment. Could it be that the Rambam is operating on the level of the punishment of the Isur, and therefore he's notching it up by making it Isur the Rabbanan, and therefore it can be Malkot Maldut. Whereas if it's an Isur Torah, but it's Asur Aval Patur, there's nothing.
No, Chas V'Shalom. If you get Makas Maridus for a Darbonah, how much more so do you get Makas Maridus for a Doraisa? No, you won't get a full set of, you know, I mean, so both are 39, but I mean, you won't get the 39 Malkus, you know, with the strong arm guy and all this, the differences between this and that.
Isn't there a Machlokus if it's 39 or or whatever they want regarding matters like this?
Well, that I don't remember. I remember that you don't appoint a the regular shliach bestin who's a big shlov. I mean, again, he has to be gol b'chach, but this. I just wanted to point out to you an interesting idea that I'm racking my brains if I can figure it out. This is Rabbi Cheskel Mask. Can we give this out? Do you feel we have? Everybody have a copy of that?
I think we did.
We gave it out. You can tell you got one.
This is talking about the
Tosefta. Yeah, it's called the Chazon Yecheskel.
I thought it. That's right.
Rabbi Cheskel and Bramsky. You heard of him?
Yep.
He lived in Beit Vegan. If you take a look. It should say Nun on the top left. Do you see that?
No.
Just so we just want to make sure we're on the top page.
We'll have two pages.
Okay, because you have two pages. So you look at the left column, which is called Chidushim. I think it's Os. I don't know if it's a Chof or a Beis. I can't tell. And he writes the following. Yesh mochichim Midiktoni hocha she'eno chayev ela mishum shvus. Now, let's understand the Brisa, the Tosefta, records a machlokes, which I don't think appears in the Bible, between Rabbi Loz and the Chachamim regarding Meleches Ksiva. The Chachamim say that you have to write two osios in order to be chayev. That's the shir of Meleches Ksiva. And Rabbi Leza says that you're chayev for one letter. The case happens to be Yontif. So he says, Lokar Bon. That's what Rabbi Loza says. He wrote one letter, and he's chayev for Meleches Kosev. He gets Malchus. Talking about Malchus Doraisa. Chachomim say, no. There's no chiyuv on one os. The shear, the minimum shear for Kosev is what? Two os. But look at the language of the Chachomim. It's one line up before the end in the Tosefta itself. Eino chayev el mishum shvus. Rabosai, what does the word shvus indicate? Are we dealing with the Doraisa or the Rabbana? Only the Rabbana.
But
yesh mochicha midiktoni ochesh eino chayev el mishum shvus. The hard amrin and chatzis shir osim and atorah and dafku bisuri achila avalo bisur malach. And this might be. I don't know. I'm not sure which of the two answers or explanations of Mrs. Zalman. I like the second one
first
better.
One. This is the
from the last question.
This is Seth telling us that, I mean, it could be that. But
I don't know. Either he's saying that there's no similarity between Chelev and Ksiva on Shabbos, or he's saying that there's no Chatzin and Staruf between one letter and another. I don't know what he's saying. More likely, maybe he's saying the second answer, that in Meleches Machshavos you need two osios. If it's less than two osios, that's not a Melechus. Don't tell me Chatzis Shirasa B'nai Torah. But it's a beautiful diuk in the language of the Tosefta.
No, says, he wouldn't say just Achila. He's emphasizing that there's a difference between Shabbos and Achila.
Well, Achila, he's referring to Chelev, I think, in this case, right? From whence do we derive Chatzis Shirasa B'nai Torah? From Chelev. So he's saying that in Chelev you can talk about Chatzis Shir, but not in Melech, for whatever reason, either because Melech Shabbos is not chazal it's tarufe, or maybe it's not a meleches machshavos. Whichever way you like. Again, he doesn't.
He's saying,
I don't even know. I don't even know if he's aware. If he's aware of Rav Zalman, but again, the beauty of it, Rabosai, is number one, it is diuk. You know, I thrive from a diuk. You know, when you see it in the language, ain't no chayev el mishum shpus. But let's go on, because again, the part that I need your help on is coming up around the bend. He says, "V'ulai shani iser malacha meiser achila sheshayach sham, meaning in achila hatam hachazin litzarufe klomar kevan sheachilas gizayis mitzarif kolmashu ochel kedei lechit achilas pras lechay ba'al achiloso harei chazinon shekol mashu shu ochel hu ochel davaros." If you mitzarif small mashus, it means that each mashu is a davaros. Lechem. The next word I can't make out. Yeah, I don't think it came out in the printing. She'ein b'something eino chayev malchus. Right? Since it's not a full shear, therefore the Torah says you're not chayev malchus. But as far as the Issa, you violated Issa. Amal gabi Issa malacha pokus mikshir eino malecha shavis.
Machshavis,
excuse me. which means that he's going with the second explanation. I thought he was driving the point of the first explanation, that there's no chazit sarufi. Now all of a sudden, ain't it melechas machshavas? V'yinkan dover osur klal. Okay, then he has the Rashbam, and I think I've mentioned this Rashbam in the past. Mm-hmm. Then he says, "I will be sifra achmemos." Has a different gear. It says, "Minayin shelo yichtov os." How do I know that you shouldn't write one letter? Shelo yarok chut echol. Shelo yarok tamulomar kol malacha. It doesn't say malacha. It says kol malacha riba. Mihacha mashul chatzishir osur b'malacha. Mi riba dekra the malacha v'kol malacha. So I think he's postulating a machlokas here between our Tosefta, the name of the Chachamim in Beitza, and the Sifron Achrei Mos, as to whether or not writing one letter is an Issur Torah. And the answer is, according to the Sifra, it says Kol Malacha, which means that one Os is considered a Malacha to some extent. At least it's included on the Kol Malacha, and it's an Issur Doraisa. Then he writes in the next paragraph, shucks. Okay, I wanted to get to the punchline. We'll see. Omnom v'Rashi shamashma shamaisa hoya kishir kigon b'mavashet shenosein akedera al ha'esh shareyesh v'yoso maisa atzmo kidei bishul grogeres shleimo maisa nesuna b'kedera v'rak v'dovar shenasevo hamaisa ein sham. Kishir, dining ship, Kedera is a pochus mikro geris, v'chein sham brer. So he wants to say the following, that everything depends on the malacha. In some cases, the malacha, even in chatzishir, could be considered malacha, but in other cases, it cannot be considered malacha. So he says, for example, if he cooks a half a shir, actually, the nasis habrera be ochlin pachs migrogeres hocham tosefta. All right, I guess it's time for mincha. I'm just going to read this quickly to my sisters. See what I say. Oh, he wants to say the following: when he puts the kedera on the eish, and what does he have inside the kedera?
Just one.
He has what?
One groger.
Right, he has.
So the mice of the bishul is there. You're just missing the actual.
Yes, but he wants to say that there you can say chatzishir osur b'Torah.
Right.
But in the case of ksiva, he wants to say.
There's only one, the mice itself is only enough for one os.
And right. He says, Sharebi oso mice aksiva kosev os zu. In Einenich teves vi os shnia. V'zokik l'maisa acher lichtov os hashnir. You want to say if I add something to the pot, then it's all one bishul because everything is inside the pot. But if I add a second letter to my first letter, that's a whole new maisa ksiv. So this is all hemshek of what he discussed before on the first page, first side, where he spoke about chazin litztarufe. In other words, now that he has the sifra, he realizes that, wait a minute, the sifra is accepting the possibility that you could have a melech Shabbos with a pachas mikashir. So maybe instead, our criterion for whether chatzishir osim and ador melechas should be whether or not it's chazid tzarufe or not chazid tzarufe. He wants to say, in the case of bishul, since it's one fire on the one pot, you could say it's all one mice of bishul. I have a problem with that because every time he throws in something into the pot, that's a new maisa bishul. But he wants to say the pot is the tzarif.
He's saying it's a new you're right, it's a new maisa, it's not a new maisa bishul. The maisa bishul is there. You did a new maisa.
The maisa bishul is there because of the pot. The pot and the fire underneath the fire, that's malechas bishul. But in the case of ksiva, you wrote one os. And now you're going to write another os. That's a whole new maisa, and that's not chazin litztarufe. So just keep this in your archives. Maybe someday we'll come back to it.
What is it? What is the time spent between the writing of each?
I didn't hear you. Say it again,
Tim. What would be the time spent between the writing of each ot to make two separate maisim?
I don't know. I think he's saying that by definition, you know, it's two maisim. But then you're asking, so when am I ever chai for ksiva, right?
Oh, I looked at the Bishul and the Shimon